You talk about the emotional brain. It reminds me of my dad when, you know, now he's retired and just the chillest guy on earth. But when he was like my age and he had the weight of the world on his shoulders, you know, his response to us was typically the emotional brain dominating. And it was, "Hey, Dad, can I go out with my friends to a movie?" "No, just no." The answer is no.
Welcome to the Emotional Intelligence Podcast, a podcast where we explore the intersection of emotional intelligence and leadership. And whether you're a seasoned executive or just starting out in your leadership journey, we're going to share practical tips, inspiring stories, and expert insights to help you develop your emotional intelligence and achieve your goals. So sit back, relax, and get ready to take your leadership skills to the next level. I'm Ismail.
And I'm Samir.
Hey, Samir.
Hey, how's it going, Ismail?
Good, good, good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you.
Today, we've got an interesting conversation around decision making and emotional intelligence, and specifically, how does emotional intelligence impact, positive or negative, your decision making abilities? And so we're going to spend some time going through how decision making at a very high level works, and then we'll talk about the impacts of EQ on that.
Yeah, no, that's a great topic, especially, you know, leaders in the workplace and outside of the workplace, we're constantly making decisions. And so if we understand more intrinsically from an emotional perspective, what drives those decisions, that's going to help us in the moment make those key decisions more impactfully. So I'm all about it. Let's go for it.
All right. Let's talk about it from the perspective of your brains, right? So we're going to say you have two brains. You have a cognitive brain and you've got an emotional brain. So the cognitive brain, it's like the computer processor or thought processor of yourself, and it focuses on really the prefrontal cortex of your brain, and it's associated with the logical thinking, all your reasoning and problem-solving abilities. And it, if you can imagine, like if you're planning out, let's just say a drive somewhere, or you're planning out a meeting, that's really where the cognitive or rational brain comes into play. And it allows you to think of long-term impacts, consequences, how to weigh those things out very logically.
So like the data analytics piece, that would really fall into the camp of cognitive.
Because very much so.
Looking at data and drawing conclusions from it. Makes sense.
Okay. Correct. Yeah. Whereas on the other hand, you have the emotional brain, and that involves the amygdala. And we've talked about this in previous episodes, but the amygdala and limbic system, and it's this almost this responsive part of your brain. It's very impulsive. It controls immediate emotions and feelings, and is very fast acting for the purpose really of back in the day, meaning primitive self, when a saber-toothed tiger came out, your limbic system would come in, assess fear, and either fight or flight. And that's really where it comes in. But that has not left the human beings yet.
Yeah, and we talked about in previous episodes how the fight or flight or that threat system, the human brain hasn't evolved to the point where they can discern between a threat from, let's say, a saber-toothed tiger, or a threat of potentially your boss making you work on the weekend. That emotional impact or that threat is processed in the same exact way by your body. So a lot of those metaphysical impacts or those feelings of the blood rushing to your brain, your heart pounding faster, that tightening of the limbs, that all of that stuff still happens when you're having that emotional response to that threat. So it's very interesting how, you know, evolution has allowed us to come so far, but as far as like how our brain discerns threat, it's exactly how it was when the cavemen were roaming the earth.
That's right. That's right. It's like, who do I have to bonk on the head for safety or protection? That's now if your boss asks you to work late or on some crazy project, bonking them on the head, it really isn't an option. So
shouldn't be.
I'm sure some people have that as an option, but not most of the listeners out there. And so when we talk about the emotional brain, when it dominates decisions, those can be very impulsive, and the emotional brain doesn't look at long-term impacts or outcomes. It's going to be in the moment. It looks at your feelings, what's going on right now, and it wants to make a decision that way. Whereas the cognitive brain, it's going to be very, very rational, but not very empathetic to yourself or anyone around you. It's all very binary. And we all know people like both, you know, like, oh, you know, they're making an impulsive decision, or they're not, or someone who just makes a very binary decision and doesn't look into it, take into account other people's experiences or impacts. We know both of those people.
You talk about the emotional brain. It reminds me of my dad when, you know, now he's retired and just the chillest guy on earth. But when he was like my age and he had the weight of the world on his shoulders, you know, his response to us was typically the emotional brain dominating. And it was, hey, Dad, can I go out with my friends to a movie? No, just no. The answer is no. Why? No, because he had so much else going on in his mind at that moment and the stress that just created this immediate emotional brain response. Whereas if he had employed his cognitive brain and been like, what am I like, you know, let me be empathetic to this child who just wants to go to a movie with his friends, and I'll probably change my answer. So finding the balance between these two things is so critical. It reminds me of when we talked about idealism versus optimism in a previous episode recently, and how, you know, an optimist and an idealist, they both have benefits to behaving in or believing in those frameworks. But there, if you don't balance it correctly, there's pitfalls as well. So here you see the exact same thing. And that's what the beauty of emotional intelligence really is. It's finding balance. And so when you're able to conquer that balance and find the balance of emotional brain versus cognitive brain, your decision-making skills will, you know, go through the roof, right? But in order to do that, you have to become extremely self-aware and work on your self-awareness and your self-management to be able to discern between when you are being dominated by your emotional brain and when you're being dominated by your cognitive brain. And so that piece is super important. So from your perspective, Ismail, where does someone, or where should someone start in figuring out whether they let their emotional brain run the show or their cognitive brain, or if they're balanced or unbalanced? Like, how do we become super self-aware about that?
Sure. So we've always talked about the four foundations of emotional intelligence, and I'm not going to go through them in detail, but I'll just run through them, which is self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, and relationship management. And I think, like you kind of said, a good starting point is always self-awareness. And you have to look what that allows you to do in the context of decision-making is it allows you to take into account or check yourself based on your values. What are your value systems? What biases might you have, and what triggers might you have, right? You have to, it's really important that you figure this about yourself. And to pause for a second, when you were coming up with your anecdote, your example that you used, it was always about parenting. It was about parenting. And I can't help, but when I want to come up with an example, I can't help but go to myself being a parent now and how I react to my sons. And it's very much so like taking a moment and being aware when they do something, you know what bothers you about their actions. And so I'm employing emotional intelligence right then and there. And like you had mentioned, I'm trying to make a decision between what makes sense and how it makes me feel. And that is not an easy task. So if I know, or if you know what triggers you, you're able to take a moment, you can pause and reflect. You can try and get, and these are ways that help improve your self-awareness. You can pause and reflect. So that's more of an internal thing. You can get other people's feedback. Another thing to do is just journal, if you can, document your emotions as they come up. I know it's easier said than done doing that one, but I really feel that one is important because you have documented evidence, historical evidence of how things make you feel.
Sure. Yeah. And if you're a very data-driven type of person, that could be the key, right? Like just collecting that data. And I think journaling sometimes it gives the mental picture of a candlelight or a fireside, quiet with a cup of Earl Grey tea. And, you know, journaling for me a lot of times is making a note in my cell phone, right? I just open up my phone, open my notes, quick note, like, hey, like, you know, how am I feeling? Why am I feeling this? And then I do refer back to those.
I remember you telling me about an example when you were on the plane. You were, it was like a really rough start to the day and trying to get everyone piled into the car or taxi, right? And at the end, you just wrote it out on your phone.
No, it was like there was a work issue going on and I was trying to go on a family vacation and I had my mind were swirling. So I took out my phone and I just opened up the notes app and just kind of listed out some affirmations, why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling and trying to really figure out what's triggering this. Like what are some of the biases that are driving my emotions in this moment? And it was helpful. It was helpful.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Honestly, like, you know, going back to the parenting example, like it's usually fatigue, stress or hunger or one of the above that's like causing this emotional reaction. And, you know, a lot of times when you reflect with the cognitive brain, it helps you sort of rationalize why you're feeling the way you are. And sometimes I have to have those conversations with my kids like, hey, dude, like you kind of screwed up here, but I way overreacted and this is why, you know, and those are usually fruitful conversations because at the end I'm like, daddy's not perfect. You guys aren't perfect. We all have bad reactions, but you brought up values, biases, and I believe the last one you brought was triggers. And it reminded me quickly of the episode we had most recently with Kashal Kelly on that was released episode 29. And, she talking about self-awareness in the African-American community about their historical struggles and how that has that trauma has impacted their current emotional responses to certain things and certain events in their life or certain things that happen in their day to day. And so becoming hyper self-aware, as she says, is the key for the Black community to understand their trauma so that they can sort of right the ship and change course and be more productive and effective in society amongst each other and in the larger society. So I thought that was like such a poignant moment and to point out how important self-awareness is for an entire community, even not just the individual. So,
and really if you take that one level up, just decision-making in general, are you making the decision based on your emotional brain? Or are you making it based on your cognitive brain? Are you looking at how it makes you feel, or are you looking on how you're going to react? How is that going to impact you or people around you in the long run? So, while yes, I totally agree. I mean, I think everything revolves around self-awareness as step one, maybe not necessarily the most important one, even though I think it is the most important one, but we talk about self-awareness a lot, not because it's the most important, but also because it happens to be the first thing that I think you need to do. And as you were kind of talking about some of your examples what you did in terms of your affirmations, and then also talking with your kids, this is where self-management comes in. And it helps you manage your emotions that can cloud your judgment. So for instance, if you are aware that something triggers you, if you have a way of managing that initially, and that could be just taking some time, taking a deep breath, it will help you avoid an impulsive decision, right? Because there's a lot of stuff going on in your body when you get triggered, and having some steps or having some actions that you know you can do are important. Because like you had said, you were stressed at work, and that impacted your how you were kicking off your vacation. So one of the things that you can do from a self-management point of view is, this is potentially proactive, is find a way to manage that stress. Know your techniques. Is there training that you can do? So you can look at obviously overall EQ training, but also some tactical things like stress management techniques. People talk about like grounding yourself or bringing yourself into the present. There's a whole bunch of things that you can draw on.
And for me, it's journaling helps, and perspective is always something. It's like, I always think about like, what is really happening here, right? Bringing yourself into the moment and gaining that perspective. It sounds kind of foo-foo-ish, but it is not. It really works. So, you know, for those folks out there that are looking for a way to manage stress in the moment, sometimes it's just like taking a pause, sitting down and being like, what am I actually so stressed out about here, you know? And then it can just change everything for you. But gaining awareness of oneself, gaining awareness of oneself and managing your emotions, so critically important. As leaders, though, sometimes it's not just about yourself, right? It's about the people around you, understanding what's driving them. Is it their emotional brain? Is it their cognitive brain? Are their decisions, why are they making the decisions that they're making? And then being able to respond in a way that might need to influence them when they're in a specific mindset, and trying to get them out of that mindset and helping them achieve that balance between emotions and cognitive brain. And that's where social awareness and the relationship management piece that we talk about so often becomes so prominent, right? Like understanding and taking account of the emotional state of all the folks around you, and then ensuring that they're making informed and rational decisions.
And it goes both ways, meaning it helps you make informed decisions based on their emotions, and hopefully that leads to them making informed decisions based on your and their peers' emotions or situations, right? I mean, ultimately, social awareness helps you take that into account.
And it starts by really being attuned and taking stock of your team's emotions all the time. And I think in episode one, we talked about how leaders they need to constantly be asking and trying to understand the emotional state of their employees, of their teams. And that starts by, you know, taking steps to truly understand, right? Having those one-on-ones, having those team meetings, having those informal discussions, looking for the nonverbal and the verbal cues that your team is giving you. And a lot of times for leaders, it's going to require them to actively listen, right? Like that's so key. Is sometimes it's important to shut it all down, the emails, the phones, and just look somebody eye to eye and be like, hey, like, let's talk it out, man. I'm here to listen. I'm not here to say anything, and let them open up to you. And oftentimes when you start off listening, they end up listening, right? Like if you start off the conversation by just staying quiet and listening to what they have to say, most of the time, once the conversation it reaches a certain point where now they're ready to listen to what you have to say. And they'll never reach that point if you're constantly cutting them off and trying to get your words in edgewise.
Correct. I mean, this is where the true definition or practical way of how active listening works is, you should be listening. You should be listening to understand rather than listening to speak. So you're talking, or someone is talking to me, they're giving me their perspective, and I'm already formulating my response. And that is not active listening. What you want to do is you want to be really understanding their perspective. That might be in the form of questions. And that comes across in the way that you described, is that it essentially rubs off onto them, right? It helps them actively listen as well. And I think that understanding the emotional climate of your team, also, you know, hopefully having a long-term culture that supports or promotes EQ or healthy decision-making will be helpful. And then ultimately, this is, you know, it segues really quickly into relationship management, because not from social awareness perspective, you're trying to just make sure you look at how others, how what you're talking about or decisions you're making, how that impacts others, and you're understanding the current state. Whereas relationship management, that's where you're trying to actually make more collaborative decisions. People think that I'm a leader, I have to make the decision, or if I don't make the decision, it undermines me. And yes, okay, at the end of the day, the buck stops at the leader. That's the way it should be, right or wrong. And maybe they just need to make a decision for the sake of moving things forward. But I would say that should be the exception to the rule. The most common thing should be a collaborative approach where you are taking into account other people's self-management, self-awareness, and social awareness. You're taking all those into account, and it helps you be very, very clear. Actually, you need to be very clear to make sure that the conversation, how the decision is being made, is based on, you know, clear facts. Taking a moment to appreciate someone's opinion, whether you're going to take into account or their decision or not, being quite appreciative of that. And then I think something that we talk a lot about is building and maintaining trust. So you want your team to be able to trust you for the purposes of trusting a decision you make. And sometimes that's going to need to mean you as a leader trusting your team or a teammate for making a decision and running with it.
Yeah. Decision making, man, it's probably one of the most important skills a leader needs to master. Not just at work, but just in life in general, right? But looking at decision making through the framework of emotional intelligence is very interesting, right? Because emotional intelligence can be such a differentiator in somebody being a good decision maker and a bad decision maker. And we talked about that balance, the being able to balance the emotional brain and the cognitive brain. The cognitive brain, over-reliance on the cognitive brain could lead to a lack of empathy for others, right? And making your decisions. Over-reliance on the emotional brain could lead to a lack of reasoning and rationale and making fear-based decisions, which is never a good idea, right? So being able to balance those things and developing the EQ is so critically important.
Well, it's not an innate skill for most people. So you have to take the time to develop that skill so that you can have it help the other skills that you need to take into account. So like the decision-making skill. So, and I also think you need to be very compassionate with yourself and the people around you, because you're going to make mistakes in your decisions and they're going to make mistakes in their decisions. And you might make them, that might be because you looked at it too emotionally. It was very impulsive, or you took too long. You're trying to make such a practical decision. It didn't really make sense. And so, you know, it is going to happen. I think just calling those out, it really, again, builds trust. It builds resilient teams, knowing that, yes, mistakes will happen and you can continue to proceed and grow. And also, this is probably like a couple of things that we've talked about are probably like us being a broken record, but creating that feedback loop so that you're getting timely feedback and information to help make you either impact or change the way you're handling a current decision or learning so that when you make future decisions, it is a balanced approach.
100%. And so shameless plug here, since you brought up feedback loop, we would love to hear from you guys and your feedback on this episode and others. You can reach out to us on our social medias. Instagram and LinkedIn is where we are most engaged. We'd love your feedback. It helps us get better. And we love hearing from our listeners. And with that as well, I think we've kind of covered it, right?
You bet.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the Emotional Intelligence Podcast. We hope you found it informative and enjoyable. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. And if you have a moment, we'd really appreciate it if you could leave a review on your favorite platform. Your feedback helps us improve and reach more people. If you're interested in learning more about the topics we discussed today, be sure to check out the show notes for links and resources. You can find them by visiting our website. And if you have any questions or feedback, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us by email at info@emotionalintelligence.com or connect with us on social media by using the links in the show notes.